We're ready for the call to worship. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and wondrous name.
Holy is the Lord.
Mighty ruler, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Extol the Lord our God. Worship at the Lord's footstool.
Holy is the Lord.
Moses and Aaron were among God's priests. Samuel was among those who called on God's name.
They cried to the Lord, who answered them, who spoke to them in the pillar of cloud.
They kept God's testimonies and the statutes God gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain.
Surely, Lord our God is holy.
Now let us Exodus 34, verses 29 to 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went to speak with him.
Yes. I got something cool to show you today. Even if you're a guest, you are welcome up here for Children's Moment. Come on down. Cool, huh? They've already seen my flashlight, and it's a pretty cool flashlight. It moves all over the place, so like you can peek around corners and stuff. Kind of sweet, right? So, what do you think? Brighton has a big old smile on his face. Do you think that's pretty cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, right? Watch this, though. I just got to show you. So it works like a normal flashlight, right? Does that hurt your eyes? If you hit it again, though, oh, it's a flashlight in a different way, right? Okay, this is the coolest one. You see that? It even blinks. So if you're in a dark room, you get to see lights flashing. It's kind of like a strobe light. You can have a little party, right? It's cool, huh? Things that light up are kind of neat. Do you guys have any toys at home? Does anyone have a toy at home that has something that lights up on it? I was looking today in my new stash of baby toys, and I didn't have a single thing, which means I need to go shopping. What do you think? You guys have something like a transformer or something like that at home that lights up? Anybody raise your hand if you have something like that that has lights. Can you tell me about it?
Football that I got for, I think, for my birthday or Christmas.
Very cool. So a football that lights up. That's extra awesome. I mean, footballs are cool, but one that lights up is extra cool. Anybody else have something at home that lights up? Maybe like a mirror or something like that? Or a toy? What do you have, Brighton? I can tell you're figuring something out, you know? Some type of toy. Well, toys that light up are cool. So today, we're talking about Transfiguration Sunday. And you guys, I gotta be... What is it?
A lightsaber.
A lightsaber. That's like the ultimate light-up toy, right? So cool. We're talking about Transfiguration Sunday, and that's a big old word, and I gotta be honest with you, I didn't really know 100% what it meant. So have you ever heard that word before, Transfiguration Sunday? You have? Excellent. I'm glad. You gotcha. So you have an idea of maybe what the word means, but not really sure what it means today, right? Exactly. So basically, what I was learning about when I was reading my Bible and trying to figure this thing out is that this was a very special time where Jesus took some of his closest disciples, just a couple of them, up to the top of a mountain. And when he was at the top of the mountain, he started to light up, just like our light-up toys. Can you believe that? So, like, have you ever heard, maybe adults have, when women are pregnant, they're supposed to have this glow, right? They were glowing. I just beg to differ myself, but... But they have that. This is not the same thing. How about you guys? On Christmas morning, when you run down and see the tree and you see all the presents by the tree, do you kind of light up? Your face gets really excited. Raise your hand if you light up. Yeah, anybody? On your birthday, right? This is not the same as that. Not the same. Nope. How about on Valentine's Day when you see maybe dad gives something special to mom or mom gives something special to dad or you make a special thing that you give to your parents on Valentine's Day and they almost get kind of teary-eyed because they're so happy that they get like teary-eyed? I bet your mom does that, right? This kind of glow that Jesus did was not like that either, believe it or not. Not even the same. This was like he literally glowed. Like his body was glowing, right? Have you ever seen anyone glow like that before? Uh-uh. So then what happened after that? How many of you have seen Hercules? The Disney movie, Hercules? Oh, you gotta be kidding me, really? Really, no one? Whew, I got some learning to do. Well, Hercules, in the movie, Hercules is the son of Zeus, and so he goes, and Zeus is huge, and Zeus calls down and says, "You're my son," and Hercules is like, "What? Like, I'm the son of a god? That's kind of crazy, right?" And so that's kind of what happened on that mountain. God, the God, the number one, opened up the clouds and said, "Son." These people heard the voice coming from the cloud, right? And Jesus already knew he was the Son of God, but then everyone else that was there knew. I mean, they kind of thought so, but that was it. They knew he was the Son of God, okay? Can you imagine if, like, you were sitting next to a friend, a new friend, maybe more like a stranger. You see a kid, and you're sitting next to him, and all of a sudden the President of the United States walks up and says, "Hey there, son," and you realize you're sitting next to the President's son. Like, that'd be pretty crazy, right? You'd probably be like, "Oh, this is weird." So can you imagine how those friends of Jesus felt when they realized, like, they were really standing next to and were friends of, disciples of the Jesus, the Son of God? Kind of miraculous. So, before we say our prayer today, I want you to think about this, okay? Pastor Zach's going to talk a little bit more about what that lighting up was or what this whole thing meant for Jesus and for the disciples and for the entire kingdom, right? And I want you to think about, what is your special light? You know, Jesus' special light showed that he was the Son of God. He was super powerful and he was very, very special. What is it that makes you special? That you put off a special light? Is it that you're really kind? Maybe you do really nice things for people. What can you do this week to be a special light for other people? And I want you to think about that, okay? Awesome. Can you pray with me, please? We're going to do an echo prayer for those of you who are new, so you just repeat after me. It's pretty simple. Dear God, thank you for sharing your Son with us. Help us to let our light shine on others. Amen.
Before we move on, I wanted to take the time. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And thank you that life is sacred to you because you breathed life into existence when you spoke your word. And God, you hallowed and humbled the human body. That Jesus was born of a virgin teenager, Mary, and was born of a woman. So the process of birth is sacred to you, God, and life. From the moment of conception to the moment of birth and beyond, Lord, all of life is sacred. And I pray that you will bless these offerings, these baby bottles for life, that they would provide hope and resources and to bring more workers, Lord, and volunteers to the Pregnancy Resources Center, that they will continue to be the light in the darkness in the Quad Cities area, and to be a place of refuge and hope. I pray, Lord, for your healing power to extend through these offerings, through your presence among your sons and daughters in faith who are there. And I pray, Lord, that your light would shine and that people will come to know Jesus at Pregnancy Resources Center through their relationships, Lord. I pray, Lord, that through this ministry that it will be a light to all nations in the Quad Cities and they will be a blessing to all people. But Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give what we can of what you've given us cheerfully and generously. So we pray this for all of your glory, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
From 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to and 12 through chapter 4, verse 2. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word by the open, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And for the reading of the gospel, this is from Luke 9, verses 28 through 36. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. They were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen.
First off, I want to commend Adrian for tackling the transfiguration in a children's moment. I have never heard that before, and that took great courage. And to be honest, as much as you said that it was hard and you were seeking and researching and praying and trying to figure out how to communicate that, I've been struggling with that all week, so you're not alone. And I'll do my best to try to illuminate, enlighten more, but I had a lot more questions than answers in my study this week. But that's okay, because sometimes we come to encounter real mystery. Things that transcend our expectations or aren't in the bulletin, so to speak. And I was trying to think about things that I've seen in my life that remind me of this mysterious transfiguration or transformation of Jesus. And one of my favorite trilogies of all time, besides Star Wars, is The Lord of the Rings. How many of you like The Lord of the Rings? It's okay to wave your nerd flag today. The Lord of the Rings. And one of my favorite parts in The Lord of the Rings trilogy is at the end of the first, The Fellowship of the Ring, the sagely wizard Gandalf, played by Ian McKellen, has a standoff with this demonic monster, the fiery Balrog. And he essentially sacrifices himself so that the rest of the fellowship can escape and go on with their journey towards Mordor to destroy the Ring of Power. And he has the staff and he's like, "You shall not pass!" Right? And they fall into this bottomless pit, fighting and fleeing, and you think that they're he sacrificed himself nobly so the fellowship could continue. But then we come to the second movie, The Two Towers, the second book. And after the fellowship, they've been scattered. They've been divided. They've been defeated. And they break up. And the two hobbits, Frodo and Sam, go on to Mordor, and the three valiant warriors, the motley crew of the dwarf, the elf, and the human, go on in the other direction, towards another kingdom. And they're wandering in these living woods, and they encounter a stranger, a very powerful stranger. And then there's a bright light, and they see this powerful being. And then it's revealed, they're like this, and they're struck back from the power of this glorious presence, at least in the Lord of the Rings universe. And it's Gandalf, not Gandalf the Grey, Gandalf the White. And I can't remember his elvish name, but anyways, he's there, and he's transfigured in a way. He's on this gleaming white horse, and he comes to help them, to meet them where they're at. Because they've lost their way. And now that's not exactly like Jesus, but it still makes me think of Jesus. That Jesus reveals himself according to God's will and in God's time. And he chose to do this, not with all of his disciples, but with his closest companions. It says in verse 28 in chapter 9 of Luke's gospel, about 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James, who were like his best friends, his closest companions, and went up on a mountain to pray. See, in Luke's gospel, we've been learning that Jesus' secret to his power and what fuels him is his relationship with God the Father that is kept holy and in prayer. And here, Jesus brings his three closest friends with him to get a glimpse of what his personal life is really like. And it says in verse 29, as he was praying. We've heard that before, haven't we? A few weeks ago, we remembered Christ's baptism. And we learned that while he was praying, after everyone else was baptized, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And while he was praying, it says, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove. And he heard that voice of the Father from heaven. You are my beloved, my son with whom I am well pleased. And it was out of that that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. He came back victorious through the power of the Spirit and clinging to the Word of God and started his ministry at 30 years old. And called the disciples and preached the gospel of repentance and brought healing and deliverance and good news for the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty the oppressed, and to announce that the year of the Lord's favor had come in him. Now in Luke's gospel, we fast forwarded quite a bit. And Jesus has been doing all these great things in his ministry and teaching about the kingdom of God, revealing God's mystery through ordinary everyday life through parables. But Jesus is warning his closest companions that he has come to die, that he has set his face toward Jerusalem, and what we'll find out will be the cross, that he's going to be betrayed into human hands and ridiculed and mocked and embarrassed by the religious leaders. But here we are, and Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. And it says, as he was praying, and before the heavens were opened, now we see a new thing. The appearance, his countenance, the appearance of his face changed or was transformed. And his clothes flashed white with lightning. And it says, two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. And I take this text to be, these were two flesh and blood men. Men of God, Moses and Elijah. And we know in the Old Testament, it says that Elijah was taken into heaven by a whirlwind and in chariots of fire. But we know Moses was buried. So this is a big mystery. But I believe that God's word says this is two men. So I think that they were really there in the flesh. This wasn't like apparitions like we see of the Force ghosts of Anakin Skywalker and Yoda in the Star Wars movies. And two men, Moses and Elijah. And Moses was the priest of God's people, Israel. The first, even though his brother Aaron was the head of the priesthood, Moses was the intercessor. And he went before God and brought the law of God back to his people. His stiff-necked, obstinate people. And Moses would come back, as we know, from Exodus 34 we heard today. He'd come down from the mountain with the two covenant tablets in his hands, what we call the Ten Commandments. And Moses didn't realize that the skin of his face shone brightly. Why? Because he had been talking with God. Moses was a man, but because he was intimate and talking and having this face-to-face conversation of vulnerability and honesty and reality, his face shone because he'd been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw the skin of Moses' face shining brightly, they were afraid to come near him. And I can't blame them. But Moses calls them closer, and they came to him, and he spoke with them. And he commanded them everything that God had spoken with them, because Moses was obedient in his faith. But it says, when he finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in the Lord's presence to speak with them, he'd take off the veil until he came out again. And when Moses came out and told the Israelites what he commanded, they'd see that the skin of his face was shining brightly. He had the countenance of God glowing in his face. God was looking upon them through his reflection in Moses' face. But it says Moses would put the veil on again until the next time he went in to speak with the Lord. Now, one way I can respect that, Moses was keeping his face holy for God.
But at the same time, he didn't let the people see the glory fade away. So maybe they thought his face shone all the time. We don't know. And then there's Elijah, who represents, he's one of the greatest of Old Testament prophets. So Jesus is here having this conversation. And when he listens to God and converses with God and speaks with God and hears from God and just spends time with God, probably a lot of time in silence. Here he is conversing with the person that represents the law and who represents the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of both the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament prophets. See, Jesus is not just our great high priest and the greatest prophet of all, but Jesus is the King. And he stands head and shoulders above Moses and Elijah. And they were talking with him. And they too were clothed with heavenly splendor or glory. And they were speaking, kind of forthtelling about Jesus' departure with which he would achieve in Jerusalem, which we'll find out will be at the cross. And Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw his glory as well as the two men with him. Now, I want to pause there. Last night, I was really seeking God and wrestling with, God, how do I translate this mysterious passage for the people you've called me to serve and to love? A lot of this doesn't even make sense to me sometimes. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pray. And I got down on my hands and knees on the floor and I just prayed and I had God's word in front of me. And God revealed himself to me through his word, which he normally does for me. I didn't get a, you know, shining flash of light or anything. But I saw glimpses and things in the Psalms that was feeding my soul and reminding me of God's faithfulness and his trustworthiness. And how the psalmist would pray things like, Lord, let your face shine upon us. Turn your countenance toward us. Hear our prayers. Heal us. Revive us. But I fell asleep. And I probably needed that sleep, as my wife will attest. But I fell asleep. And I wish I would have been able to be awake in this sense of Peter, who was, Peter, James, and John were almost overcome by sleep. But this time, they managed to stay awake. Now later on, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus is betrayed, while he's praying, and he's sweating drops of blood, Peter, James, and John, the disciples, they don't stay awake, they fall asleep. But this time, they get to see God's glory revealed in Jesus. And as the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter says, Master, it's good that we're here. We should construct three shrines or tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He still doesn't get it. But he didn't know what he was saying. See, Peter thought of Jesus as being as good as, or another iteration of God's law in his prophets, like Moses or like Elijah. But Moses and Elijah were paving the way for Jesus. Moses and Elijah longed to see God revealed, God the Father revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. But Peter didn't know what he was saying. And sometimes when we pray, we don't know what we're saying, do we? I know I don't sometimes. And it says Peter was still speaking because Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut when a cloud overshadowed them. Now, this is nothing new for Moses. He's been in the presence of that cloud, or Elijah. But it was equally terrifying for them. I can't imagine what it was like for Peter, James, and John. What was in that cloud? And as they entered the cloud, this is all we know. They were overcome with awe. Are you in awe of God? Are you in awe of the things in your life that come together in ways that you can't explain? Are you in awe of the love that people show for you that you feel like you might not even deserve? or the forgiveness you've received that's given you a new chance in life? Are you in awe of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who though he was fully God, was fully human, and he humbled himself and emptied himself of all of his divine power to be like us? And his power came from being dependent on the Holy Spirit and God's Word, even to his last breath on the cross. And because of his humility and lowering himself and being in awe of God, being faithful and obedient and humble and lowly of heart, not to be served but to serve, God exalted him and raised him up. But even before this, God has exalted him as his only son. And they hear this voice, and I don't know if it was a whisper or if it was a booming voice or if it was just inside their minds, but it says, "This is my son whom I love." Some translations say my beloved. The one we heard today is my chosen. And they say this. And of all the things I read this week, I can understand this. Listen to him. Listen to him. And even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless and at the time told no one what they had seen. Christ is the Son of God, God's beloved, God's chosen one. And when we come to God in prayer and worship, we are to listen to him. So I'm finding in my prayer life, it helps me to spend more time in silence and learning how to be a better listener. And learning not to just see with my eyes, but to see with my heart through faith. To hear God's word and receive it. To hear what God wants us to do and to believe it and to trust him and to go and follow Jesus. To deny myself and take up my cross and follow him. Even if it means suffering, even if it means betrayal, even if it means people think I'm crazy. I know that as God loves Jesus, in Christ, God loves me. And I know that he loves you. And if you hear anything today, I want you to know that God loves you, friends. God loves you. So listen to him and hear him tell you he loves you. So now we come to the time where we behold this mystery. This great and holy mystery we call communion. This forever feast where all are welcome. All who repent and earnestly want to change their hearts and lives. May you behold your glorified Savior Jesus Christ. May God make his face shine on you and bless you and give you peace as you go out and be the good news of the gospel in your lives and shine with hope and truth in Jesus Christ in your hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.